Well, hello and welcome to the Catherine Plano podcast, where we share tips, tricks, tools, and strategies that you can implement in your life for massive improvements. Every week, we have change instigators, compelling creators, and interesting humans who are breaking the cycle of convention and redefining success one mission at a time. So join us here every week for new lessons on how to lead a life that matters, how to escalate your life after failure, and how to inject more meaning, connection, and resilience into your life. Now let's jump into your weekly dose of practical goodness. The world is going through a consciousness shift. People are looking for greater meaning and purpose in their lives. Even research suggests that people with increased meaning are happier, experience greater life satisfaction, boosts their positive emotions, and thus report lower risks of depression. But are we looking in the right places? We as a collective are heading into heightened energies where our new superpowers are emerging to share with the collective. Whether your superpower is clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentient, and claircognizance. This episode is for you. It's a masterclass filled with an abundance of ways to shift your vibrations and tap into your multidimensional self. Now, this week's special guest is the beautiful Jeanette Biro. Jeanette is a world-class medium and channeler. She has spent soul time on the other side through a near-death experience that allowed her to see and understand how our life blueprint and soul's journey works. She has crossed over and back and has unique insight to guide others on their life path. Prior to a career using her spiritual gifts, Jeanette pursued science, receiving a Bachelor of Kinesiology and a Diploma of Sports Medicine and practiced as a kinesiologist. Jeanette's recently published book, Avalon to Aurora, details her near-death experience and the lessons divinely imparted to her to help the reader live a life full of joy, love, and purpose on earth. It's now time to tune in to this one very inspirational human being. Enjoy. Well, today, this afternoon or this morning or this evening, it depends on what side of the world you are today. We have a beautiful guest today, another special, amazing guest for you. We have the beautiful Jeanette Biro. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I had to make sure I pronounced that correctly. Jeanette, I love it. So the way that we love to start the show, we always love to ask our guests to share the story. So Jeanette, tell us, what inspired you to do what you do today?
Well, it is a very interesting twisty-turny journey that got me to where I am today, talking to you. And to say, did I know that I would be a medium growing up? Absolutely not. I didn't grow up in a family of mediums. So I didn't have that kind of wise grandmother or grandfather or family member to take me under their wing. It really was about figuring it out as it was happening and undoing huge layers of fear. And then if I take that one step further, would I have ever known I would have a near-death experience on top of that? Absolutely not. And so when I look back at my life and how it's moved, even just up until this point, it is this really beautiful tapestry of twists and turns. So the shortest version I can give you and your listeners is, in retrospect, I can remember feeling spirits in my room at the age of 5. So I clearly remember at 5 years old, I knew there were spirits in my room. I knew it. I could feel them. I couldn't communicate exactly how I knew or what, I just knew. And I used to go to bed at night terrified with the blankets over my face because I was afraid I would open my eyes and see them. Now, my journey with mediumship didn't kind of start to show itself until I was about 15. So by 15, after my grandmother passed away, I saw her. She came and visited me. And then around the age of 17 is when I started to, pardon me, I started to hear spirit in my mind. And so that was confusing because I didn't know which thought was mine and which wasn't. So then that took me on a journey of exploring anxiety and what that meant, which was truly the foundation to me learning how to interpret spirit, was to get to know my own mind and thoughts. And so that's what that taught me. So then by the age of 20 is when my guides decided it's time to get her understanding what's happening now. And they had one of my spirit guides stand at the end of my hallway one day when nobody was home and literally said with an audible voice, "Jeanette, look down the hall." And I remember thinking like, oh my God, I'm terrified, terrified. And they, and again, he said, "Jeanette, look down the hall." And so I remember turning my head so slowly to look at like, what am I going to see? And it was my guide, who goes by the name of Andre. And he was standing there. He had military fatigues on, the pants anyways, and the top was just like a camo t-shirt or a khaki t-shirt, sorry. And what was significant for me was that was the moment where I knew what was happening to me was real. I knew that what happened to me at 5 and at 15 and at 17, those were all real, because now I was seeing it and it was being validated by my cat, of all things, because she was sitting right in front of him, looking up at him, and her tail was doing that whoosh thing when they're staring at something. And so I remember it was a pivotal moment where I decided I wasn't going to be afraid of it anymore. And I was going to learn everything that I could. And so I really dove into learning everything I could, all the while that I was going to university. I was a singer at the time, doing Canadian Forces tours to different military bases around the world. Like, I was busy, but there was this blossoming mediumship side. And so I got my degree in kinesiology, started working in acute rehab, secondary stage care, and mediumship was just coming in more and more. I started to see clients come in and I could see their auras. I could sense what was wrong with them. I could feel if they were at the point of nausea. I could just, all of these things were happening. And so at that point, spirit started coming in more and more, kind of in my face, saying, "You need to learn what's happening." And so then that was really daunting. So I spent several years diving into exploring it through mediumship circles, all of this stuff. Eventually began doing readings. And I was a successful medium with a full schedule, all by word of mouth, because it kind of kept it on the down low. But if people came to me, then I would read for them. And I did that for about a decade. And at that point, I got married and had kids, and I felt I had a very good understanding of death and dying from the thousands of conversations I'd had through readings and the spirits telling me all about it. And what I didn't realize was in August 2019, which is when I had my near-death experience, it would catapult me into something so much more. And so, I mean, I wrote a whole book about it, but the shorter version is when I had my NDE, I did have a suspicion something was going to happen. I assumed it would be an astral travel, which I had already become comfortable doing, going into different realms while I'm still in my body and, you know, but this was something completely different. And I remember when they were going to put me under, I had the excitement of a kid waiting to get the nod to go down the water slide. You know, when you're sitting there waiting and the water's rushing and you're excited and you're waiting for the person to say, okay, it was like that. And I had had surgery before and never had anything funny, odd, or I was never excited about it. But this surgery came about because I was very ill from my monthly periods. I essentially was hemorrhaging and we did all of the things possible to prevent it. I had a ferritin level of -1, which the doctors had said, you can't have a minus on the test. It's fine. And then it showed up as a -1. And it was so bad. I was pretty much in bed all the time at this point. And there was such a strain on my heart that to walk from my bed to the washroom, which is about 6 steps, By the time I got to the washroom, I could feel my heart struggling and tensing because I couldn't move oxygen around my body. If you don't have enough blood in your body, you don't have enough hemoglobin, which carries the oxygen where it needs to go, right? So all to say, finally decided to have a surgery. In the surgery, so when they put me under, I instantly landed with my 2 feet on the other side. And I knew exactly where I was when I landed there because, again, having astral traveled, having communicated with spirits on the other side, I knew what it looked like to have those communications. And it was always like seeing something through a window, right? Or like in a theater where you're watching what's happening on stage. That was always my view. Whereas what was different being on the other side was I was literally the one on stage. It was a reversed view. So I knew where I was as soon as my feet hit that hill. And it was this beautiful green grass sort of hill. And as I was walking bare feet, I mean, the memory is so vivid. I could see the different veins in the grass or the dew or anything I wanted to. I could just see it. I didn't have to look close. I could just see it. And it was so soft and the sky was so incredibly that like summer blue, a beautiful blue. And I walked up this hill and my grandmother was with me who had passed. And I ended up at this kind of like a summer barbecue type setting where loved ones from this lifetime, but also lifetimes before came to greet me. And I remember thinking like, I thought if I was on the other side, I would end up in the tropics because I love the tropics, right? And I was like, but I really like this, you know? And it was amazing to see all these people from even past lives come forward and give me these hugs and these, it was hugs like when you hug toddlers and the toddler like throws their entire being at you and they just give you everything. It was like that. And so I spent what felt like hours reminiscing, chatting, hanging out in this beautiful summer barbecue type setting. And then after what felt like hours, my grandmother took me to the next place. And we ended up in this beautiful white room with this amazing white table. It was like a boardroom table, like alabaster or something. And my council was around and we were at the edge of the universe, as I can understand it. It's the only way I can explain it is it's the edge of where the universe is essentially creating itself. And my guides unrolled a blueprint, which was my blueprint. And I'd always been told from spirit that we had like a tapestry of our lives and the weavings of this tapestry. So I would always explain it before as a tapestry, but they laid it out as a blueprint. And I could see my lifeline through the whole thing. And it still had this iridescent pulse kind of moving through it. So like I knew I was still alive, but I was fully there on the other side. And so we did a life review, which many people have mentioned life reviews and spirit talk about how they do a life review. And we did that up until the point in where we were. And it was at that point that they asked, do you want to stay or do you want to go back? And then I was like, oh, well, I want to go back. And I had an opportunity to kind of converse with my own higher self too, and see her perspective, although that is me, but it's the greater aspect of me, and how much my higher self absolutely adored and valued the existence of a human lifetime and how much can be gained from it. When I saw through my higher self's eyes, how much spirit values our human lifetimes, I was like, yeah, no, I definitely need to go back and do more stuff. So they said, okay, if that's what you choose with what you have remaining of your life, which was about this much, and I don't recall in my memory, I see my guide's shoulder, so I can't see how much that is in comparison, but about 6 inches left. So whatever that is, maybe that's 20, 30 years. I could then change out some of my destiny points, which really taught me about how much we do create the destiny pieces within our life path. And it is our free will that determines how we maneuver them. And so one of them, for example, the first one, they looked almost like fuses in a fuse box. I remember I pulled out the first one and they said, you will remember consciously what the first one is, but you won't the other ones until they unfold or happen. So the first one that I pulled out was chronic health issues. And I had had a lot of chronic health things throughout my whole life. And I remember pulling it out and holding it and being like, I can really do this. Like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah. And I remember I put it down, I picked up a different one and plugged it in to my life path. And again, I was like, I have created what I've gone through in my life. And now I'm changing what is to come based on what I see fit now. And so it was an amazing understanding in that respect. And then they asked me one more time, they said, are you sure you want to go back? And I was like, well, yeah, absolutely. I do. I have my kids and my family, and there's more that I can do from what I've already started doing. And so they showed me that it was as easy as flicking a switch in which my body would have a heart attack on the table and they wouldn't revive me. And my body had been weakened to that point for that purpose, that it could just, they're like, this is how easy it'll be. You won't suffer. And I was like, no, I want to go back. And so at this point, we had this discussion of, if you're going to go back, you need to step up. We're going to step up aspects of your consciousness and you need to step up and share it. And so that's kind of what I did. So before I jump to that part, coming back into my body, I remember still being on the other side, but hearing the nurse in the recovery room say, Jeanette, are you awake? Because I was only under for 20 minutes, but my experience felt like 24 hours or just under. So I heard her say, Jeanette, are you awake? My grandmother was with me, and suddenly my spirit went like back into my body. And like I said, I've had surgeries before, so I'm usually very groggy and quite comical, and I don't make any sense when I come out of surgery. The minute she said that, I felt myself come back in my body. I heard my higher self speak through me very clearly and say to the nurse, I need you to write something down. I'm a medium, and these things that I need you to write down are very important. And I remember hearing her say, okay, honey, what is it? And she wrote down these four things, which I have framed on my desk. This is the actual paper. And the things wouldn't make sense to people. It says great Baba, tree roots, time to entwine, and went far. So it wouldn't make sense to anybody else, but they were key words that would trigger my memory of everything. And the reason why my higher self did that is because it swooped in before they could give me any pain meds so that I would know there was a piece of truth in it. And I wouldn't convince myself, oh, that must have been from this, that, or whatever. So, and then I told her, I said, once you write that down, I need you to fold it up and put it in my hand. And she did exactly that, held it in my hand. And then she went on to do pain meds and all this. So they wheeled me into recovery and I gave my mom that paper. I remember I could just peel open one eye. I was like, hold this. And it wasn't until a couple of days later that they said, it's time for you to read the paper. And I had no pain meds in my body at this point. All was clear. And when I read those words, the vivid memory of all of it came back. And I mean, if even the day of the surgery, I knew something significant happened because I had appreciation for everything. But it was in the clarity of mind that was very important to me that I recalled the whole story. And I remember I sat my parents down and I said, I need to tell you guys a story. And I told them the story. And then I just started writing my book. And so what's so significant since my NDE and that experience is when I came back, I then created my company, Avalon Spirit, and I started my podcast and I wrote my book. And I decided to no longer stay sort of under the radar with mediumship. And I put myself up on a platform, like a way that people can access it is what I mean, right? To be seen. And I was willing to share my story and willing to share the communications I have with spirit and my access to higher realms of consciousness, higher beings of consciousness, the understandings of quantum consciousness, dimensions, realms, worlds, all of that has been pouring through to really help share information as we raise our consciousness right now. And so that's why I'm back. And so my mediumship has just cranked up into a totally different level and speed of access, but I'm so incredibly grateful for it. So that's literally what brings me to this moment with you here today.
Wow, Jeanette, what a story. Amazing. There's so many questions I have for you. So one thing that did come to mind, you mentioned anxiety, which is really interesting. We had a guest a little while ago who mentioned that when she had spirit coming through her and the messages, she always related to when she was having anxiety come through her body. So the moment she felt the anxiety, she looked at that as spirit or her guides trying to say something or communicate to her. Is that what was happening with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because those in the spirit realm, whether they're 4D, 5D, 8, 9D, wherever, what dimension they're from, each dimensional frequency vibrates faster than the one below it, if we look at it stacked, just for ease of understanding. So when a higher vibrating energy comes near our 3D bodies, our body naturally wants to equalize it or match it. So our body will try to increase in frequency in some way because we get triggered. The same way as if we went and stood beside a massive electrical grid, we would probably feel anxiety too, because it's a higher frequency. That's kind of a sudden onset. So what happens is our heart rate increases, which kind of triggers us a little bit. And then we have amazing fear narratives come in that we're like, what is this? What does this mean? And then we trigger into anxiety. And so anxiety is very much a natural response to the presence of spirit. And it's really about undoing the fear response within that and doing exactly like she said. When that energy comes on, it's like, oh, who's here? Which is what I do now too. When that comes in, I'm like, oh, who's trying to get my attention? I guess they had to do it that way. What am I not noticing?
Right. So by doing that, it stops the, because I was having a conversation. I have those moments, but I go, if I don't automatically, your mind, because you get into a loop, you don't automatically go, oh, he's here. Yeah. You tend to go, oh my gosh, I'm having a panic attack. Mm-hmm. So what's your, and I'm sure there's a lot of viewers and listeners that are experiencing that, because obviously there is a level of increase of energy, and hear it all the time that, you know, the solar flares and the increase of consciousness, and we'll talk more about that. So for those that experience those moments, is it just a matter of saying, okay, who's here and what is it that you want to say? Or how do you actually deal with the actual physical anxiety that you are currently in that moment?
Mm-hmm. It's one that takes time in practicing how to catch it, but it's about catching it. And I like to say that I catch it in a way where I'll recognize it first of all and be like, ooh, this is anxiety. Okay, step one, recognize. Step two, what is the root of it? Is there a root that pertains to me specifically? Like, do I have a big presentation today? Yes, I do. So, some of it could be that, because I'm a little nervous about that, right? So that's part of the root. Is there anything else in the root, right? So I'll try and find the root. Now, if there is no root of it, if I'm just washing my dishes, I have a relaxed day, there's nothing really triggering, then if that anxiety comes in, I'm like, that didn't start with me. So then that's something external to me. So then I'll say, who's there? What's there? What is it? Right? So the biggest thing is, once we recognize it, if we give ourselves time to pause and kind of assess the situation, like, where is this coming from? What things could be leading into this? Then we have an idea of what to do to start to deal with it. Right? Is my body really tired and overwhelmed? Was I super busy the last week where my nervous system is actually worn out and now I'm super sensitive? What can I do to make that better? You know, do I need more food? Do I need more water? Do I need grounding? Do all of the things. When we give ourselves the time to pause, we can then consciously choose what we want to do next. And that's where the power comes from.
I love the way that you just explained that, because sometimes it happens and I am so chilled out. And it's, and I will say to my partner, this is really bizarre. I have no reason to be feeling this. Mm-hmm. But I don't think in that moment, okay, who's in the room? What message do you have for me? Mm-hmm. So on that, how do we then, because you were saying about the voice in your mind, how are we able to differentiate the difference between our own internal voice? Because sometimes I have that. I'm like, is that really, like, is that coming from me or is that external? And you start almost doubting and getting in the way of what's coming through. So how do you identify the difference between the two?
So, I mean, that is, I think, one of the most challenging parts of connecting with spirit is determining which voice in your mind is yours and which isn't. Because if we hear an audible voice outside of our head, like an audible sound voice, well, then it's obviously not within our minds, right? So it's the hardest when it's in your mind. So one of the things to listen for is, first of all, the frequency. Is there a different frequency that accompanied that thought, right? So is there an anxiety piece that came in with it, not in response to it, but that came in with it? So that's one way. Another one, again, is to think of the root of the thought. Is the thought rooted in something I thought about, right? So for example, you're washing dishes and all of a sudden this thought or word comes in of check the tires in your car. And you think, oh, is that a spirit message? Is there something wrong with my car? But if you pause again and you think, okay, what have I been thinking about this morning? And maybe it was your groceries, and then your groceries led to your camping trip. And then you remember, you know, your brother blew out a tire on his camping trip and it led to this and this and this and this and this. And then you're thinking, I should check my tire. Well, that could be just your pathway because you were thinking about all those things. Whereas if you're thinking of something completely different and then all of a sudden check the tires comes in with a different frequency and no root, then that could be very well spirit, right? So it's kind of seeing where there's a link and where there isn't a link. And then over time, you start to notice the subtle differences of what is your internal voice and what is spirit. So it's really about noticing what you notice. What do you notice in this? And then kind of taking stock of it every time it happens. And then it starts to become more clear.
Mm, so I guess it all depends as well whether it's not just what you hear, but it's the experience with the messages coming through, because you were talking about the frequencies. And so on that, because you hear this all the time, it's like people talk about, you know, we're moving into the fifth dimension and, you know, we're at the 3D. Would you like to talk us through a little bit about what is the fifth dimension? Because there's different understandings of the mm-hmm. what is the fifth dimension, and not many people speak about the fourth dimension.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great question. So we have, the way that I like to explain it, it was we have dimensional consciousness, and then we also have dimensional experiences, right? So in the dimensional experience, essentially every dimension vibrates at a higher rate, right? So if we go, say, from 3.1 to, say, 3.9, 10, whatever, and then it goes to 4.1 and so on and so forth. So every time you go up a notch, you're going to increase the speed of frequency. So in terms of spirit communication, when someone increases their vibrational rate to that in which spirit is, that's when they can see, hear, and feel spirit. So like when I was younger, I would have some days where I'm naturally vibing into fourth dimensional frequency, and that's when I would see spirit or feel them. And then other days I wouldn't. And that's what made me feel like I was kind of crazy a little bit, because I'm like, why did I see them yesterday and today I can't? Because I was vibrating at a rate that matched their rate. Okay. Now, then there's dimensional consciousness though. And so if we look at dimensional consciousness, 3D is like a box. It has known parameters that fit that square, right? That's our 3D reality based on the physics as we understand them. Fourth dimension is when that box starts to kind of bend in the middle and makes a slightly different shape. And that's when we start to think outside the box and realize we're not limited to the confines of this box design. Now, fifth dimensional consciousness is when the box essentially splits into two inverted triangles now. It's not just slightly kind of like something different is going on here, but now we're like, okay, we're introduced to a world of polarity, of light and dark. We have our masculine and feminine within us. We have the light polarity and the dark, our good aspects and our shadow aspects. And we need to validate both, right? And so that's when we start to look at the world from that perspective. And it goes on and on. It merges into the six-pointed star once we are in six-dimensional consciousness. So all of that to say, when we're connecting in with spirit, oftentimes what I'll say is fourth-dimensional experience goes hand in hand with fourth-dimensional consciousness. So we will start to raise our consciousness and start to think outside the box, start to feel like ooh, something more is going on. I'm having these spiritual experiences. Maybe they're a little bit more paranormal like, but they're happening in fourth dimension. And fourth dimension is really like that highway or a hallway between 3D and 5D. It's kind of like an airplane terminal, but it's not somewhere where you want to stay. It's going to give you an understanding, but you really want to get up into 5D, where those that are in that level of consciousness understand the polarity. They're not as triggered by fear. They understand the wholeness of it, whereas 4D is kind of like a hot pot of all kinds of things happening and converging. The reality of 3D world crashing in with something totally new that bends our minds. So that's why humanity really is wanting to kind of step further into 5D, where there's a bit more balance, essentially. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's a matter of us increasing our vibrational frequency. And there's, I'm guessing there are many ways that we can do that, whether it's we practice mindfulness, meditation, being more conscious of how we are feeling and what emotions are bubbling up. But we are in that, we can step between the three and the five. It's just being more aware of like, where am I at right now? Am I at 3D or am I, it sounds like the fourth dimension is more like a playground.
Yes.
To sort of move into that fifth dimension. Is that correct?
Yep. That's a great way to say it, because on that playground, you're going to have all kinds of beings, right? So lots of beings can come down. So you can have really beneficial ones. You can have pesky ones. You can have, and I say pesky very lovingly, but just beings that aren't at the highest of light can mill around in 4D. Just like when you're a kid on the playground, you're going to get all kinds and you choose who you want to play with.
Mm.
So it's that kind of energy, and it's really about awareness and recognizing that our boundaries, what we like, what we don't like, also applies into 4D and 5D. But what happens is a lot of people start to awaken in consciousness and just think, especially if it's a spiritual awakening, that, oh, I have to open to spirit no matter what. And then that starts to create almost a codependency on spirit, because they're not showing up to this playground with their own sense of self. They're like, tell me what to do and how to be. And then they kind of get stuck in 4D.
I love it. See, to me, it's interesting. Everyone has their own, I guess, interpretation of a spiritual awakening. But to me, a spiritual awakening is just remembering who we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely. How would you interpret it?
I would say it's exactly that. Like, the more we remember who we are, the more we can expand into all things, because we're not stuck by the limitations of what we're brought up in this 3D reality, right? So a spiritual awakening is anything that triggers that expansion in consciousness. And so I want to say that, because I don't think, let's say the word light workers. All of us have heard the term light workers. Many of us identify as light workers. But I also want to say that light workers are also those that aren't maybe on a spiritual journey in terms of chakras and meditation to them. However, they are here expanding in thought and consciousness, expanding in compassion, and expanding in mindfulness practices, but they may not identify with spiritual awakening. They are still a light worker and they are still also expanding. So I really think, like you said, it's a returning to self, which actually opens you up to so much more and what you can do on this planet.
Mm. Yeah. And that's one of my biggest lessons as well, is the boundaries piece, because I know that the more that we focus externally, and when we are of service, which both of us are, being of service, and it's always about helping others. Well, I know for me, I know for you it is too, but it's just that we have to be really conscious that there's got to be a really strong line between what am I doing for myself as well, without feeling like you're being selfish. So I tend to go, well, Catherine, you're being a little bit selfish here if you're going to spend some time for you, but it's not. I'm actually being self-full. And so by being self-full, then I'm able to help others. I loved what you were talking about, because everyone has it. Their near-death experience is always different. Like, some people talk about the light. And yeah, so I love the way that you described yours, because it was a journey in itself. Mm-hmm. So how do we know? Because I hear people go, I never see things. I just never see things. So how do we know when our guides or our spirits are around us, because not all of us are clairvoyant. Some are very clairsentient, clairknowing, clairaudient. So how do we know? How do we know when they're around? And that, are they around us all the time?
Mm-hmm. So that's a beautiful question. And yes, they are around all the time. But the way in which I've been shown, it's not always in the way that we think. It's not like they, you know, say we have a whole council of seven, and we all have a council. We all have more than just one spirit guide that come in at different times. But it's not like that whole council follows us around every day into the kitchen and the washroom and to bed, and they're just standing there. It's not like that. But they are always connected to us in a way that we could compare to how we're all connected by cell phones. Right? Texting, we can reach anybody if we need to, but we're not always ever present in density, but we then can be if we're needed. So that's kind of how it works with our guides, is they can come in closer if need be, whether we call them in or they see that we need their help. But they are always in tune with what we're doing. And so in terms of how do we feel them, one really great exercise that I do in one of my courses is, first, we have to, before we can really perceive anything outside of ourselves, we need to know what it feels like to be ourselves. And so often we actually don't know what that's like. And so what I'll do with my classes is we will sit and I will encourage people to go into a meditative state, meaning eyes closed, slowing your breathing, and feel what it feels like to be you in this moment. What does your hair feel like? What do your clothes feel like on you? What is the temperature in your room? How does your heart rate feel? All of those things. Take stock of everything that it is to be you, and then just sit in that for a few moments. So they'll do that. And then I'll say, now bring your lifetime guide or one of your guides, ask them to come near. And so once you've taken stock of what you feel like in time and space, then when something new comes in, you're going to notice the difference. You're going to notice a difference in frequency, in heat, maybe touch, maybe sight, maybe smell, maybe all of them, but you're going to notice a difference. And then when you notice that difference, take a moment to recognize what it is and then ask them, can you now take it away? And what happens in that moment is when they step back and you feel it's not there anymore, you have this amazing awareness of, oh, I just felt that, saw that, or whatever, experienced it. And then you can ask them to bring it in closer. So one of the best ways to do it, to figure out what your guide feels like to you, because it can feel different to everybody, is to do that exercise. Feel what it is to be you first. Ask them to come in. Notice, okay, I feel a heat and a twitchy tingling on my right side. Okay, can you take it away? It's gone. Even if it's gone for 10 seconds or 2 seconds and then it comes back, you then notice the difference. And then that's how you can start to interpret who all of your guides are. Do I recognize this one? Do I not? It's really quite powerful.
And then how do you go about commute? Because some people do, I know I do a lot of journaling and everyone does their own thing, but how do you then communicate with them? How do you get the messages? How do you get their names? Like, how do you go about it?
Journaling is a great way to do it. My guides have been talking a lot about automatic writing right now, or inspired writing. So for anyone listening that feels drawn to write, literally doing a Q&A with your guides on paper can bring through so much right now. So if you were to write down a question and then just feel into the energy for an answer, that's one way you can start to build it. But another way is, again, noticing the ways in which they are desiring to communicate. Are you being shown symbols or signs or number patterns? Or do you hear songs on the radio? Do you, it really is about noticing what you notice. And whichever ones come in with more ease for you, say you just get flashes of color every time they're there, or you do in fact hear a name, is notice it, validate it, and then ask them to repeat it somehow. So say the name was Sarah. Say you're like, who are you? And you get Sarah. So you write down Sarah. And then you're like, if that's accurate, please validate it for me. Say you run into the bank and the bank teller's name is Sarah. You're like, oh, interesting. And then you go home and you watch a movie and the main character's name is Sarah. Well, there's 3 points of reference to validate what you received. So I would also always look for three points of reference when you're learning and gaining those pieces of information.
I love that. And so do you sometimes, when you have to make a decision, do you ask for your counsel to come forward, like almost like a boardroom meeting to guide you? Because I always wonder, like, are they allowed to intervene? Or is this, you know, the, like, I love the fact that you were talking about the timeline and the fact that we have free will, where we've come here with a blueprint, but at the end of the day, it's what we do with this influence. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
So then, yeah. so basically there is no such thing that we are doomed and gloomed with our blueprint. In other words, that you're not, you know, some Vedic astrologers, they'll say you're going to die at the age of 84 years old of this, right? So there is that. Yet I've also heard other spiritual leaders talk about sometimes we get an opt out. We can either opt out or opt in our timeline.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear more about that, how we could do
that. Yeah, absolutely. So coming back to your first question, they can, so like if there's a big decision I need to make, I can go to them and say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I think. And if I'm going to make a decision in which I will threaten my life path with an exit point, say I'm going to do something really ridiculous and they're like, that's going to lead you to an exit point, they would redirect me if it's not going to benefit my journey to have that experience. But what they'll usually do is lay out different things to ponder, but always put it back on me to make the decision. And that's what our guides usually want to do, is they want to help us to decide what we feel is right, which is why I was saying we don't want to get stuck in 4D where we become dependent on them or codependent, because then we're not living our life. We're living the life they're telling us to live, and that's not what they want. So spirit will often, if we are relying on them too much for answers, they'll often step back so that we start to rely back on what we also think, because they are always saying our journey is a co-creation with the universe. We step, they step, we step, they step, right? So there is so much about what we feel and think about it, but they will often come in and help us discuss it or ponder it. So definitely that. Now with your second question, what was your second question again?
The timeline.
Yes. So death is an amazing thing. If we speak specifically on that with timeline, the amount of variability that is available in exit points. So we all can have multiple different exit points at different points in our journey. One of them being my NDE point was very much allowed to be an exit point, right? But even in that, like, there are so many ways we can either extend an amount of time at an exit point for various reasons. Sometimes we can reach an exit point and maybe it's a final one and be like, I just need 2 more weeks. Can I have 2 more weeks to wrap up this thing with my family? It'll benefit them. It'll close my karma and this. And we can get those 2 more weeks. Other times we can have a look at an exit point and say, you know what? I think I have more to do in my journey. I would like to keep going. And I have talked to other spirits who have crossed over and they said, I had 2 or 3 more exit points. I was told which one they would be, again, in the higher realm. And with that knowledge, my consciousness decided to take this exit. I did not want to have cancer and suffer in this way. I didn't want to do this or that. So we think it's a cut and dry thing. Maybe not us, but a lot of people think death is just a thing and it happens. But there is so much variability and choice that comes into even those very last moments. And I want to explain something. When I see someone's journey and spirit is showing me they're kind of at the end of their journey and they're most likely going to pass, oftentimes I'm showing them on a slide. So if they're at the top of the slide, they still have a fair amount of time before they're going to cross over. So depending on where I see them on the slide can give me an idea, say 3 months, 6 months, a year. I have seen someone off the slide and in midair. And when I saw that, I was like, I'm going to get a phone call today that they passed. Like they're in midair, like they're off the slide. And even in midair, that person was able to renegotiate and have more time. So I think to give specific times and dates in general is a very, you have to tread very carefully in that respect, because we don't actually know. There is a magic and a mystery piece within that. No matter what, we can know, it can be so close. People can be right at the edge. Doctors saying there's nothing left they can do. All the tests and everything, their soul, and then they come back for a little bit longer. So there's just always something so magical and mystical about death.
100%. And we've had Anita Morjani on the show who exactly experienced
yes.
that. Yes.
Right. Where, she's a beautiful yeah. example of that.
Yeah. Very an amazing story as well. So you mentioned karma. So does karma, because I know in some cultures they'll say, if in my timeline, let's say, I know I did wrong, but I can redeem my karma and let's say if I knew a cow was going to get slaughtered, and this is a true story that someone shared with me, and I saved that cow, my karma would be decreased. So then my lifeline would be expanded. So what are your thoughts around karma?
So I think karma is, I believe in the law of energy exchange. Absolutely. I think some of the laws of karma, or not the laws, but the way that it's explained is a little bit too rigid in some respects. But I do believe absolutely in an energy exchange. And the way that my guide showed it to me was really based on a balance of experiences. So essentially, our soul comes into many different incarnations with the desires to gain wisdom from experience. We need to experience something to gain the wisdom from it. We can read about it, and that's great, but it's so different. It becomes a part of your soul energy when you've experienced it. So within that, we have all these different opportunities for experiences that we will then, as a soul, desire oftentimes the equal opposite of that to bring it wholeness. Just like we talked about those opposing triangles in 5D of the light and the dark, we want the light and the dark of the experience to have the wisdom, which is the wholeness of it. So that then, when we bring that into a human existence, then comes under the umbrella of free will choice. So when we add our human consciousness into that, though, making decisions like, if I save this cow, it will have an impact on what happens in our life. So, I mean, doing good things with the consciousness behind it does add more light to your soul energy. Doing not so good things will create a karmic or an energetic response to the thing. But all of it is in the realm of a desire for your soul to learn. So, I mean, I don't think karma, me personally, should be seen as a form of punishment in a negative, right? Like, well, it's your karma, but rather your soul's desire to understand something about wholeness.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I truly agree with that, because I think that what I call my dark night of the soul that I experienced, I would not be where I am today without those experiences, as painful as they were, amazing on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, one of my guides was saying that a little while ago too, in response to a client specifically. It was like, remember that sometimes these really tough lessons are in fact your highest trajectory, because they're fast tracking through something. So your soul chose this fast track of, say, a really hard 2 years, but had you not, it would have been something that extended itself a little bit lesser, but it would drag on for 10. So sometimes I think that's something that can help us move through those tough moments, those dark nights of the soul, is like, maybe this is in fact your fast track to gain the wisdom.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have this saying, I used to say, gone or be gone, that when things in life are very evident and you don't do anything about it and you stay in those situations, but you're not meant to be there, the universe will get involved, and your spirit guides will get involved and will make it happen anyway. So whatever you resist will persist and happen anyway.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
One other question I had for you, because we were talking about I guess you, when you said something like, especially now, I guess the energy that's around us, the increase of consciousness, the increase of light codes, what is taking place right now as from an evolution point of view?
So we have been going through, the way that my guides showed me is from 2020 to 2024, we're going through 100 years worth of growth and ascension compressed into 4 years. And so it has been rapid ascension through triggers of all kinds to get us to look inwards. Because in order for us to, again, if we think of it like connecting with spirit, in order to know you're connecting with spirit, you need to know your own energy first. So in order for us to change the world and grow and ascend, we need to know what we're all about first before we even have our own platform to then interact with the external world. So we have been growing, ascending, clearing, and raising our frequencies at such an immensely rapid rate since even 2020. And now we're coming into a time where we are stepping into this frequency where we have more ability to interact with spirit and the whole angelic realm. And when I say realm, I don't mean dimension. There's many dimensions in that realm, but this high frequency realm of angels, light beings, ETs, guides, ascended masters can now come in and communicate much more with people because we have a greater number of the collective that has created a tipping point to allow their energy to come in, because they can't come in more individually until they have what they call a gateway to come in, and that's frequency. So when our frequencies were still shut off, they couldn't come in, they could just simply observe. So we're stepping into now, especially this year, this ability for communication. So a lot more people are going to be more inspired, but also have more confidence or desire to really step into what they're doing here and create these change points. So from what I've been told is we are very much on track, even though on the 3D level alone, it feels very chaotic. We're very much on track, and we've actually opened up a much bigger frequency on our planet of healing, communication, ascension, consciousness, all of that. And it's actually quite amazing on that level.
I believe that. And I think it links in because I hear a lot of people experiencing anxiety. And so I always go, I wonder whether that's that frequency shift that everyone talks about, that mm-hmm. our physical, our 3D body is still trying to adjust and find a balance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then you add the solar flares on top of that, which really triggers the human body. However, the solar flares are the energetics of light consciousness, right? Like light has a consciousness to it. There are light beings who do not need a body because they are light consciousness. And there's these three guides of the light, I call them. I've been channeling since 2020, and they are of light. They showed themselves to me first as kind of just shadow figures. And they said, just so you know, we are not embodied. We are light. But to show ourselves this way helps your brain make more sense of why we're here. And so they've been saying that the sun with all the solar flares are essentially giving us bursts of consciousness to help increase the vibration of exactly that, of our body. But it's like putting us through a boot camp where our body is having to learn to adjust, recalibrate continually. And it's very challenging right now. But it is, again, for the betterment.
Absolutely. And have your guides shared how the collective are to ride these waves of these increases? Like, what do we do? How do we ground ourselves so we're not too, you know, like all the time?
So one thing to recognize is how powerful the earth is as a grounding tool. And so one of the things they said, they're like, Gaia, Mother Earth, is already in 5D. Gaia already lives in 5D. Us humans don't fully live in 5D, but the earth does. The plants do. The animals, for the most part, are in 5D. So they're waiting for humans to catch up. So knowing that, simply grounding into the earth, walking bare feet if you can, walking along a shoreline where you've got the water element meeting the land element, nature, trees, gardening, mountains, anything you can do to ground into Gaia, Gaia's energy will help give you that stability. So the more time we can spend outside consciously, the better. That's going to help us big time. We just don't realize it's right there. And then another one is really being real with ourselves and getting out of the mentality of push, 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 right? I must do, I must produce, I must push, I must show up for this, no boundaries. Yes, yes, yes. To be a galactic civilization, essentially, which is what we're stepping into, we need to understand how energy moves in all things. And that boundaries, knowing our energetic signature, when it's being depleted, when it's not, understanding our life force, where we can reconnect and refill it, when to share it, all of this, we need time to be able to process that. And so we need to become more in tune with ourselves too, and be okay with that, which means becoming more sensitive. And so essentially, we're also changing the narrative of what it is to be sensitive, whereas 20 years ago, if someone's like, you're so sensitive, it was a negative, right? It was a weakness, a judgment. Whereas now, you're so sensitive is becoming actually kind of this magical word of, you're so tuned in. You're so tapped into these frequencies, right? And so we need to start embracing that within ourselves so we can be in that higher frequency.
I love the way that you've just described that, because it takes away that negative connotation of like you're being sensitive. It's actually you're actually in tuned and tapped in rather than being too sensitive. Yeah. Jeanette, I would love to keep you on a lot longer, let me tell you, because there's so many questions that I have for you, but I am also conscious of your time, and maybe we'll get you to come back on the show.
Absolutely.
The way that we wrap up the show is we always love to ask our guests to share three shiny golden nuggets for our audience. So there could be like three practical tips for our audience today.
Okay. So the first one absolutely is conscious choice. So the greatest, one of the greatest gifts that I received from my near-death experience, which is so a common theme that I talk about, is conscious choice. Remembering that we created destiny points in our blueprint, but it is really our free will, which comes from conscious choice, which comes in those moments of pause when something triggers us or before we react, we have a moment to pause. And in that, we can make our conscious choice of what we want to do next. And when we live as best as we can in those moments, we then really are in the driver's seat of creating the reality we want. Creating the perspective and the energetics that we live in comes from conscious choice. So that's definitely my number one, is conscious choice is our greatest gift as human beings. Number two is, after having done thousands of sessions with people and spirits on the other side, then also having my own near-death experience and then coming back, is to really assure people that life carries on. We do not cease to exist, and our loved ones do not cease to exist once they're no longer in a physical form. It's kind of like taking a jacket off. When we no longer need the jacket because we've come inside where it's warm and the jacket would actually be cumbersome, we take the jacket off. But we don't mourn the fact we took the jacket off, and we don't feel different. We simply remove what we no longer need. And that's how sometimes we can see transitioning from human form to the other side, is removing a layer we don't need anymore, but we are entirely still us, because I remember I felt entirely me on the other side. And so I really want to leave that with people, as those who have lost loved ones, they're just over there waiting until you get there when it's your time, but they want you to live the most here, and you will carry on together. And then my last point would be, again, the view from my higher self about how much those in spirit and our own higher selves value and look upon our human lifetimes with absolute awe and wonder at what we're, first of all, willing to do, how much we learn. We just should not waste our human life. We should make the most of what we're doing here. And making the most of it doesn't mean pushing ourselves to the ends of creating and teaching and doing, but making the most is also reveling in the moment of Netflix and ice cream, right? Like, revel in it, taste that ice cream, because it's an amazing human thing. You get to eat ice cream just as much as those moments where we can make a difference in someone's lives. Revel in those moments, the moments where your hug makes a huge difference to someone, or someone makes you laugh and you haven't belly laughed like that in so long. Like, we are here at this time on this planet to do all of the things, the change making things, the wisdom gaining things, the laughter things, the love things. And when we can see that from the perspective, or imagine it from the perspective of those on the other side and how much they love to see that, then we can really like immerse ourselves in being present here at this time.
Oh, I love all three. I really do. And I love ice cream. So I can relate to that.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
No, I know. So Jeanette, where is the best place for our tribe to find you? Where do you hang out the most?
I would say YouTube is a big one. So Jeanette Biro Medium is my YouTube handle. And I put out lots of videos, some daily card readings, mediumship readings, and my podcast is on there. The podcast is the Jeanette Biro podcast. It's also on all audio platforms too. So that's a great one. Instagram, I'm on there often, JeanetteBiro.medium. And then also AvalonSpirit.com is the website if people wanted to check that out. So, I mean, I'm in a lot of places and just sharing stuff as it comes. So I'm happy for anyone who wants to drop by and check it out.
Thank you so much. We'll have all of those in the show notes. Jeanette, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I love the way that you've described everything. It's so easy to understand and it's very tangible. So thank you so very much for sharing your wealth of wisdom, and thank you for your time and your energy.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for listening to today's episode. If you loved what you heard and this topic really resonated with you and you think it will help others, please click on share show with your friends to help make a difference. And if you want to be part of our mission to help empower the conscious people of this world to learn and grow, then the best way to get involved is to click on follow show or leave a review on iTunes so that we can give you a shout out on the show. If you have been a long-time listener of the show, you know we are big on delivering content that is valuable for you, content that will address your pain points. So if you have any questions or ideas for a podcast show, please reach out and we will create the content to meet your needs. Yes, you heard right. If you have topics, themes, or special guests that you want to hear from, please send us a note to support@katherineplano.com.au and we will create a show especially for you. Wherever you are in the world, sending you love, blessings, and peace. Namaste.